The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Now I'm joined by jazz, blues and soul singer Mary Coughlan for What Made Me. You're very welcome, Mary.
Good morning.
Lovely to see you. You're going to be busy again this summer.
Stop it, lads. I have gigs until in my diary until next May.
UK, Scotland.
UK, Scotland, yeah.
Here, of course.
Here, lots of gone. The Olympia, the Pavilion. Most of the gigs coming up are sold out, thankfully. Mm-hmm. Doing Galway then again next. I haven't a clue. I was going to bring them in.
I probably have them. We'll get them to.
Too many gigs.
My point is that you're still busy and you're still out there and you're still performing. So you clearly love it.
Oh, God, yeah. I just came back from Australia and New Zealand and that was great. But I don't know if I'll go back again. It's a really long trip. Mm-hmm. It's not even the gigs. It's just the trip down, you know.
Getting flying down to
places down there, you know.
But when you perform, you're the song. Like you're just gone.
Just the song.
But you are. You're just, you can see it. You're just gone. Oh. I remember that from way back seeing you on The Late Late Show, that you just, it's part of the joy of watching you, that you just disappear into it. You're not there anymore. You're gone.
That would be merciful. I suppose, yeah, but I love it more than ever now. I used to be, when I look at videos of myself, that sometimes there's a guy that puts up archive stuff from RTE.
Online.
Yeah, online. I said, oh my God, look at the shoulder pads. Oh my God, look at the stage. Look at my hair, you know. Still criticizing myself like that, you know. But yeah, I
don't do it.
Put the hands in the pockets and close the eyes and gone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But you were 30 before you started singing. Like
Gibburn started it all.
29.
Siobhan McHugh and what's his name? He passed away last year. Shea Healy set up this thing called Sounds Promising, and you had to send in a cassette of yourself singing two songs, and we got picked. We came up to RTE, to this big studio in RTE, and Gail Byrne was walking by when they were mixing it, and he said, "Who's that?" And said, "It's a mother of three from Galway." And he said, "Can I pinch her for the Late Late Show?" And that was it.
That was it?
Yeah.
Incredible.
So it was really, I mean...
Mm-hmm. Was that a life-changing moment?
I mean, oh, God, yeah.
The Late Late Show, Gail Byrne.
Well, the whole business has been life-changing for me. I mean, I left Galway with the three kids. I had left my husband anyway, my first husband, and with the three kids, under six. What was I thinking? I put them into the car, a few plastic bags of gloves, came up to Dublin.
You see, you probably didn't know what you were letting yourself in for. You know, when you look back at things like that and you go, if I'd have known what was ahead of me, I would maybe...
Well, I don't know. I'm glad I did it, though, because I wrote a song a few years ago called In Another World, What Would I Have Done?
Yeah.
In any given situation, you know? And In Another World, if you and I were still together, what would, you know, I had to leave, I think, to do it.
Yeah, and I'm not necessarily saying that, but I'm just saying, if you know sometimes what the next
thing
phase
is going to be. Oh, stop it.
Could you face into it is my thing. Not that you change your decision, but I think we're better off not knowing what's ahead of us sometimes.
Yeah, well, I was 70 last week and I really had a bit of a horror, you know, I'd had a bit of a weird month before that, thinking about stuff, you know, like thinking, looking back at my life. I got very emotional. I didn't want to party. I was like, come on, mate, you have to have a disco and I'll do the sound and he's, you know, rent a room and, you know, the kids are doing playlists for me. And I said, no, I just want my kids, my sisters and brothers, their partners and some really close friends. And we all went out to this place for a weekend.
Lovely.
And we had dinner on Saturday night and I wasn't going to make a speech, but I did, sure. And I was all over the place. But
did that do it for you? Like, did you feel as though you'd marked it the way you wanted to?
Yes. Really, and really nowadays and for the past 30 odd years, the only thing that's ever mattered to me really is the kids and my family and my music. And I'm still working and I'm working on a huge project. I'm going off to LA in November. Terrified of going to LA, but there you go.
Are you allowed to tell us more?
Oh, yeah. So during COVID, I came across a guy gave me a record in New Zealand about 15 years ago. And it was called Mirrors, and Lieber and Stoller wrote it. The great Lieber and Stoller, they wrote everything. Stand By Me, they wrote for Elvis, they wrote for lots of people. They wrote an album called Mirrors, which was about the rise of fascism in America in 1939. It was about the murder of, some of the songs were, you know, about murder of a gay friend of theirs who was outed by his murder. There was a song about a schizophrenic woman. And there were really difficult, really, really
challenging themes.
One really, really sad song about the way America had changed. And I said, my God, what is this? And he said, I have no clue. Nothing is written on it. There's no leave notes. Peggy Lee sang all the songs. But the album was withdrawn after 1,000 copies were sold. And he said, I know for a fact that this is the only one in New Zealand and you're having it and you can do what you like with it. So during COVID, I applied for a small grant to do some research into it. And I had to work with other media. I worked with Josh O'Queeve. He did animation for me. And we did, and another girl called Eilish DeFuccia. So we gathered together when we were allowed to do so. And then my band, the Mermaid Theatre, allowed us to rehearse the songs. I got in contact with Peggy Lee's granddaughter because she was the only point of contact that I knew, you know, on Facebook, would you believe? And I got a call from a lawyer in LA saying, ooh, what's this? And then next one thing led to another. I went to meet Mike Stoller, 92, phoned me on the 5th of May last year. And he said, well, you got to come here. He said, I keep seeing tidbits about this on social media. And will you please come here to LA to meet me and discuss it? And so I went over last November. Man, I had the time of my life.
What a story this is. This is incredible.
So we're going back. I'm going back in November and bringing Johnny Taylor with me, my pianist. And we're working with these like amazing musicians. Greg Cohen is producing. And
are you going to record this
whole
album?
The album again, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's exciting, isn't it?
Yeah, and my good old buddy Dennis Desmond is paying for it. So.
It's always good to have someone to pay. So you're going to record the entire album over in LA.
Yeah.
And you have the blessing of Peggy Lee's family.
Oh, yeah, I've met them all, sure. We've been partying and everything. They live up beside Leonardo DiCaprio. I thought I'll get them.
Fabulous. But, and what is your nervousness around that then? Is it just the travel?
Well, first of all, that I'd get to 70 and that I'd, you know, be able to do it. And where I would get the money, because it's going to cost a fortune to have that money. I asked Dennis and he said, okay, he said, send me the budget. And I think it's partly because it's Mike Stoller. He'll be 93 this year. And the chance to work with him and all the people that we're working with, John Bryan and loads of people who've kind of well known, you know. And I'm a bit terrified of that, but I'll be fine. And Greg Cohen I've worked with before. He works with like...
I was reading a couple of recent reviews of your concerts and everybody says that your voice is actually better than ever. I mean, you do hear about, you know, the voice as you get old and not happening.
No, it's so weird. And I don't know why that is and I am completely grateful for it. But I actually sing better now than I did 30 years ago, which is weird, isn't it?
And does it feel like that to you? Does it feel like there's a new
depth? I can feel it here,
depth?
Yeah. I can feel it.
Did you train at all?
Never. I've never even done a warm up. Eric Visser worked with Eric for years. You know, we did the first album, first nine records together. He has Parkinson's now, and he's not great at the minute. But he said it seems every time I had a child, I dropped a tone. So
it changes a little bit.
Changed a bit, yeah. And it's deep now, and I can feel it when I'm singing. Like a vibration in the, not like I'm not a hippie. I used to be a hippie, but I can actually feel, you know.
It's all still there. Yeah. And the favorite genre for you of music to sing, do you have one or are you, you know, is it still rooted in the blues?
No, I mean, I wrote most of the last two albums myself, which is great. I never had the confidence to write before. I've written a couple, but the last album is called Repeat Rewind. And when I stopped drinking all those years ago, I couldn't sleep at night. And I used to count sheep. And I couldn't ever see the sheep or see, you know, it didn't really make sense to me. So one night I started thinking about Shantala and all of the people who lived on Ash Road. And I would start at the bottom down at Dooley's and I'd go all the way up to the top.
Name them all in
and
your mind.
And then I'd start at Mulveen's this side and go all the way down that side and name all the kids in all the houses. And then I'd wake up in the morning. So I wrote the song. It's about Shantala. It's about the nun, Sister Pius, that I was madly in love with. It's about playing on the streets, and your researcher asked me what made me, and you know, whatever, Chantala. Like all the hardship and all the abuse and all the drinking and everything. What stuck to me was kind of the rearing that we got on the street. We reared each, not saying that my parents didn't rear us, I'm shaped us, but we'd buy a record between us and go into each other's house and once a week and like really write down notes about it and stuff, you know.
Now I have to go, or I'm going to take Andrea Gilligan's time. I know the time goes quickly, but I am going to tell people that you're in Peacock's Bar and Lounge on the 12th of June.
That's with Dalton Conlon, and we're doing our podcast. It's not a regular gig.
Courtney's Lucan, the 19th of June.
Also
then off
the
to Castle Bar on the 1st of August. And then you're off in Leeds and Glasgow and all of those exciting places.
So I do work
places
with Dalton Conlon, I have to say that. And these are Dalton gigs. And we do a podcast together called You're Not Listening.
Mary, thank you so much. And it's
Thanks
lovely to see
That's
you.
Really flew.
As always, it flew by. If you missed anything, go to the Go Loud app.
The Clare Byrne Show with Aviva Insurance. Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.